It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, Thunderstruck. What happened yesterday? Bad guys got defeated, good guys got elected, the Republic is saved. Well, that's better than not, you know, but, where are we going? You know, who gets credit? Rand Paul, boy, he made a big deal. Tea Party. Well, he's gonna run with that, and we'll see how that works. If you're going to have a Tea Party, having Rand Paul at the head of it is probably better than not. So we'll see if we can convert this thing into this freedom kind of thing. Because is Rand going to be for continuing wars, deficit spending? Is he going to be what? I mean, what's some of their other issues? Yeah, one of them is term limits. Term limits. That's going to fix everything. Maybe not. So I'm holding my judgment. I'm glad he won. I mean, it's better than not. My concern was he was going against Secretary of State counting his own election. That, maybe enough pressure came on, they didn't want to play, that game. But I'm interested in making sure that, we get some accuracy in this thing, because I know that the people prefer freedom over slavery. I mean, that's my point, as long as you can define to them clearly what they're doing. There's another race going on in New Mexico. Adam Kokesh, we're going to get him on. We have wait till my BlackBerry reboots. We had a number for was campaign staff, and we need to get the one direct to him. We'll get him. And we'll get him right after the first break. But I want to make sure you understand what we're talking about. There is a movement in this country that cannot be defined clearly by traditional media, or it would put them out of business. If you were able to willing to clearly define what the people should know, starting to know, knowing without your help, knowing in spite of what you've been saying for decades, if you were to articulate that clearly, you would convict yourself as the lamestream media, the media that sued last century. At what point is the media going to make the turn? I'll give you an example. Talker Magazine is a industry magazine for talk radio. If you're a talk show host and or you have a talk show radio station, I guarantee you got copies of Talkers just, slung all over the place. We would advertise in Talker Magazine years ago for over a year during the Levolution stuff. And the reason was because I knew the industry and I was in it. So what did we do? I know how these guys are. They're a rip and read, man. Give me the lead. I'll repeat whatever you put in front of me. So what would we do? We promoted Freedom's Phoenix, top producer's tool. Know at least as much as your audience. Oh, so they used it. What's the industry saying now? Where are they going? Where are they getting their information? What are they saying? Who's driving it? It's the people. They don't know what to do. But it's going to happen. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. To me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona, in the BA Beautiful Studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. On the line, we got Adam Kokesh. We got you there, Adam.
Hoorah, thanks for having me on again, Ernie. Much appreciated.
Hey, you know, I'm looking at your race, and I'm looking at the polls, and I'm looking at all the goodies. They go back and forth, yada, 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 yada. I'm looking in there saying, you're winning online polls. I'm like, yeah, duh, what'd you think was going to happen? And then, you know, and but the one thing I did, they listed you and guy Tom Mullins, and I looked at him going, okay, so is Mullins the Democrat? Is he your opposition in the Republican primary? And he doesn't have anywhere what he's running as. Then I go look at you, and I don't see a party insignia on you either. What the heck's going on in New Mexico, man?
Well, I live in Santa Fe. It's not exactly the easiest place to be a Republican. And this is a Democrat-leaning district, which is what makes a Liberty candidate running as a Republican, a unique proposition. And it's funny that they've criticized me for not being rah-rah, go GOP enough, when it seems my opponent in the primary, Mr. Mullins, isn't doing the same thing. I hadn't actually noticed that, because I'm not a rah-rah party guy, and I'd be the first Republican to tell you. The national leadership of the Republican Party is just as corrupt as the Democrats, and if we don't face up to that, we won't be able to do anything about it. And when I'm going door to door talking to Republican voters, primary voters here, they're excited about that. And they've been waiting for someone who's going to come out and say that and at least attempt to change things within the party and bring some more confidence back to it. Because clearly the Republican Party isn't living up to its own word, isn't living up to its own platform.
Okay, so let's go ahead and let's map this out. When is your primary?
Our primary is coming up on June 1st, and it's very exciting to see that there are so many people now that they're really excited about Rand Paul having won his primary just yesterday, who are saying, well, first it was Kentucky, now it's New Mexico, let's make this happen. And, you know, our volunteers here on the ground are getting out, they're working the polls. They're going out knocking on doors and doing the legwork that it's going to take to win a race like this.
Okay, we're going to talk about your volunteers and Santa Fe Summer and all the goodies and everything, but we're going to answer the questions, you know, that I have, because I can, okay? Now, we'll get to it. I just wanted to...
Come on, Ernie. I thought you were one of those people that just wanted to be left alone. Why won't you leave me alone?
I'm you get the airtime, man. You answer the questions. That's how it works.
Okay, all right.
Now, this is the deal. Tom Mullins, who the heck is he? It doesn't say really anything about anything other than some senator endorsed him, and the more senator, more politicians. I'm going, yay. So I'm looking at his. I don't really understand who he is or what he's about. So give me a spiel on him real quick.
Sure. Well, he's an all right guy. He's been kind of a Republican Party activist. He's been president of a small oil and gas lobbying association here in New Mexico. He's an engineer, and he's kind of, I mean, I've heard him described as the country club Republican, you know, the traditional Republican, and by traditional they mean mainstream. In that sense, I think I'm more of the traditional Republican, going back to the Goldwater Taft traditions. But he's kind of your mainstream middle-of-the-road Republican. You know, we announced that for this race July of last year and said that we're going to be running, you know, if we had the support of some of the people within the party, and we were going to be running a year-and-a-half-long campaign against the incumbent, Ben Ray Lujan here, who's voted with Nancy Pelosi 99% of the time. And apparently there was a certain number of people within the GOP, and it was funny because Tom was originally supporting me in this race and was recruited by a county chair to run against me, not because they want to win the general, but because they don't want someone who actually believes in the Constitution is going to challenge the party line to represent the party here against Ben Ray Lujan. They'd rather do what they've always done and lose than try something new. And so we're kind of fighting that element within the leadership of the party.
No, what is your threat to them, though? I don't understand. This is so the people understand. I've been to Santa Fe, and we've kind of been watching your race and encouraging you and so on. And the reason is because I understand what is really happening. What is happening is there is a manifestation of the people's understanding of what's really going on, and they want to have somebody represent, you know, what they already know, and they're going, yeah, we'll throw a little bit of time and money over here, you go be hardcore and go give them what fur, but give who what. I'm the inside New Mexico, you have the incumbent that you're running against is related to the Speaker of the House or something, you know, there's some kind of tie into, you know, Democratic politics there. It's this incestuous gene pool kind of thing. They need some new blood. So what happened was you have the Republicans. I get the impression that they're just a, you know, they go to the same country club, you know, they got the same interest. They got, it's just a game they play. They dance up there on top of the cake, and then, you know, whoever wins, they still get whatever. So now here comes this revolutionary, you know, Adam Kokesh, man, you know, he goes home and he says, oh, we're going to do some butt whipping. And they went, no, make it stop. Why? What is it? I don't understand what your threat is. I mean, to the point that they'll take someone like this and the actual Republican Party there, like you say, winning the general election is not their goal. It's not having Adam Kokesh up there, and you're heading online polls. You got a lot of presence. You have people coming out and volunteering. You raising a lot of money. We'll get all that in a minute. But I need to understand what their opposition is. What are they afraid of? Is it the anti-war thing? Is it the freedom thing? Is it peace thing? Is it, what the hell is it they want?
Well, there are a number of things, and there are some, since you touched on the role of the Democrats and the sort of complicity between the two parties in keeping the establishment entrenched, there we have gotten some evidence in, that the Democrats, the people behind Ben Ray Lujan, who is the son of Ben Lujan Sr., the Speaker of the House of Representatives here, who is notoriously corrupt, that they didn't want to face someone like me. They didn't want to face an honest, principled constitutionalist in the general who had credibility as a non-interventionist because of my activism, having spoken out on veterans issues and against the war in Iraq as a veteran, that they would rather face the old guard Republican Party, which, you know, it's like, who's the guy that plays, what's the team that plays the Globetrotters?
The other guys.
the Senators or something? Yeah, whatever it is. There's that basketball team that always plays the Globetrotters. You know, the
that always
guy.
Loses, yeah.
Yeah, they'd rather just put up their Republican guy that does that and knows his role and is just going to, you know, spout the party line and lose, rather than someone who's going to represent something new, excuse me, and has the credibility on enough crossover issues to win votes away from the Democrats, who, like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, have really betrayed their own base at this point, which is an opening for conservatives, especially in districts like this here in New Mexico. And the other thing is, excuse me, that neoconservative element of the Republican Party that has that I really believe psychologically, you know, and I have a background in psychology, is the product of a certain kind of child abuse. And it produces in a subservient authoritarian personality, a mentality that's kind of a sink or swim utilitarian thing. So there is a truly conservative belief in the in certain elements of the free market, not in true freedom, but in having to earn your way and having to work and things like that. But these are people who are psychologically incapable of being free. They can have someone who's, they can be in charge of people. They can have people under them. They can have, you know, a certain degree of autonomy within that, but only if there's someone above them that they fit into a command structure. And these are people that believe that the military can do no wrong and that the United States government has a certain authority to police the world. And it's a very dangerous mentality that is the product, really, of decades of propaganda now, as that personality type has been fostered within the political context. And so when you have someone who is a true non-interventionist, who they know is not going to simply be bought out and say, oh, okay, Pelosi, I'm just going to vote for whatever war funding you ask for, that's a real threat to the one thing that is the cash cow for the conservative establishment today, which is the military-industrial complex. And that's a really sad statement, but that's the truth of it, is that conservatism, you know, and as Ronald Reagan said, libertarianism is the heart of conservatism, you know, really is based on the ideals of God-given inalienable rights and the principles of freedom. And that includes the right to self-defense and the right to collective self-defense. But that has really been distorted by this propaganda and this mythology of America having this role in the world, that we're going to vanquish evil all over the world, and that human nature is somehow flawed unless you're an American, and we're going to go out and we are going to tell the rest of the world how it's going to be. And so when you threaten that, you know, not only are you up against the people that have a direct financial interest in that, but the people that have developed a psychological investment in that.
Psychological and financial inclinations. You know, I can't think of anything better that would explain it. I think we should talk about it more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Adam Kokesh, up against a man in New Mexico. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hello. Sorry about that. I was distracted doing some stuff and searching some stuff on Adam Kokesh. One thing, Adam, I wanted to ask you real quick. When you talked about the financial and psychological dependence of these people, that's one thing I never really thought of it as a combination of those two things. I'm wondering which one is dominant. Which one depends on the other more? I want to explore that a little bit because it really supports.
That's easy. Clearly, the psychological depends on the financial, because it is the financial interest, the people that benefit off an aggressive foreign policy, the people that really are making lots of money because of the prosper of the military-industrial complex, they're the ones that put out this propaganda in order to play off of people within the general population who have the psychological soil in which that propaganda can flourish for creating this, taking that authoritarian subservient mentality and turning it into this fervent support of militarism and policing the world. So clearly the psychological soil exists within human nature in and of itself as just part of society. But as we see the psychological dependence on specific policy, it's clearly the product of the financial interest.
You know, that's what was distracting to me. Of course you would think, of course there's going to be a financial interest. And of course people are predisposed to be, you know, made use of and to do certain things. And they got cords in our brain that humanity is human nature. And if you can take advantage of that, you know, Bernays, you know, we have the center of the self, It was a series done by the BBC that really explained how this public relations, how they use advertising, commercialization to get us to do certain things. You show enough leg and cleavage, you can get you to buy whatever soft drink you want. So I'm going, you know, it didn't occur to me until just now. And I'm just like, wow, man, this is, you know, it's not often I learn something new or, you know, have something brought to the fore in my mind that gets me distracted.
Let alone from a whippersnapper like me, huh?
Yeah, whippersnapper like you. No, I learn a lot from guys exactly like you. That's the whole point. You know, that you would have a psychological predisposition, I guess, would be that you would be able to consciously take advantage of. And you put people like that already have this, you know, do we call it a weakness or do we call it a susceptibility, a vulnerability that you would take advantage of, give them shiny badges, give them titles,
right,
put them in positions of influence, feed into their insecurities, and create an army of messed up people in the head to be able to do what you want. And what I'm looking at in your race is I'm seeing that the people that, because the overriding concern of these people is money. It's about maintaining the empire, maintaining the cash flow, maintaining the connections. And when you get that as the goal, Republican, Democrat philosophy, all that stuff doesn't matter. It's just a dance that they do in order to maintain the status quo. And you are not dancing to their tune. What?
Well, let me take a excuse me, if I may, try to apply this course of analysis to what we're doing as well. And I think this might help give us and your listeners a little perspective, because in a way, the freedom movement, we're doing the exact same thing, except that our goal isn't to get rich. Our goal is to actually increase freedom and take away the power from those who have exploited us for so long.
But you don't go after their weakness. You emphasize people's strengths. It's a difference.
Right. No, but hold on. What I'm saying, I want to make the psychological parallel with what we are doing, because we're putting out freedom propaganda. You know, our techniques in a way of fighting for the hearts and minds of the American people are very similar, but we have a huge advantage. And that is that the people who have that psychological soil for a certain, you know, based on a certain authoritarian subservient mentality, the right psychological soil for aggressive authoritarian policy propaganda to take root, there's a far greater segment of society that simply wants to be left alone. There's a certain segment of society that is just sort of going along to get along. But now there are too many victims of the state. There are too many people who have suffered at the hands of the government. There are too many people who have been aggressed upon by authority figures in their lives and are sick of it. And that is a certain psychological soil that is much more prevalent, much richer. And what we have to do is make sure that the seeds of freedom that we are sowing go into that psychological soil and start waking people up. Now, the problem with this is that, or the disadvantage that we have right now, is that they're way ahead of us, and they have a lot more money and a lot more control of the existing social propaganda communication channel mechanisms in society. But we have the huge advantage that we are playing to a much broader element and a much more beautiful, loving element of human nature than they are. What we are playing to is the inherent goodness of human nature, the inherent goodness of freedom, the inherent love of individual freedom and God-given inalienable rights. And the soil is the product, is the frustration in the status quo. That is our soil. And we are trying to sow seeds of freedom in the soil that is the frustration with the current status quo of the government, with the statism, with the authoritarianism, with the suppression of individual rights that exists today.
You know, I see that. I feel it. I expected it. I know it. And I'm glad to see it played out in New Mexico. We can examine it. I'm especially with someone that has some, you know, training in university to be able to recognize this kind of stuff. So I think it's very informative for us all. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Tea Party element. Does that play in New Mexico? We'll find out.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Where is the love?
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's right here on Declare Your Independence to me. Ernest Hancock and my good friend Adam Kokesh out there doing battle. Yeah, this Marine's going to take that hill. Well, it looks like it's going to be easier.
I'm not in studio with you right now to be singing along, right? That's one of my favorite songs.
You know, I tell you where that came from. My daughter has been helping me produce for the last a month and a half or so, at least till the end of May, until this LNC thing. And I said, please help. She had her schedule change, and I go, please, just give me 3 hours a day. If you'll just come help me for a few hours a day, I can get caught up and do all. And she's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, you're never a prophet in your own land. You know, teenagers, they don't listen to dad. She's 20 years old now, lives out on her own. And she started editing the shows and stuff. She listened. Everything, you know, she's heard this before, but you know, she just gets a big grin on her face. And we're back. You know, it's just she just loves it. But so they're making fun of me, my kids, and everything. But she started to absorb some of this. You know, she starts it. She's, you know, calling the guests. You know, she's scheduling the people. She's getting involved in it. She's starting to see the headlines. She's starting to post stuff to Freedom's Phoenix. She's at 20 years old. She's, even though all this stuff has been happening around her entire life, you know, she's starting to realize really what's going on. My kids were involved in the Levolution a little bit. I just never immersed it. They had enough politics when they were younger. So what happened was she went to a Black Eyed Peas concert with a friend and heard this. She goes, Dad, you got to listen to this song. And I've heard
this. Wait. Was JT there for that one?
What, the girl?
No, Justin Timberlake did one of those tracks.
No, I have no idea. You know, so she went to this concert and she's like, Dad, you'll like it. And I've heard this song on the radio before. I just never listened to the lyrics. You know, I don't pay attention.
Yeah, it's good. So it's really deep.
Well, it was 2002-03 that they did this song. And I'm going, wow, this is – so we even did signs. Where is the love with the love logo and the question mark? We're going to be taking that to the national convention in a couple of weeks.
Very cool.
Going to be pushing
Very
the cool. crap out of that. And I go, where is the love? Well, I'll tell you, it can be in the Libertarian Party or not, you know, one or the other. But the thing is
– the love is pervasive in human nature. We just have to bring it out into the open any way we can.
Well, for my daughter to come to me and want me to listen to this song and bring it out, of course I'm going to use a cut of it and put it in the show because this represents what's really happening in this country. It's another generation they know that it's their turn. They're not even given a choice. You know, they mm-hmm. already know there's a 45 that are forehead saying, guess what? We spent all your entire future and that of your children and children's children, and you're still just out of being a child. I mean, you're 20 years old, and you're already enslaved for the foreseeable future, and what are you going to do about it?
I mean, kids born into America today are saddled with over $40,000 as their share of the national debt. That's child abuse.
That's not even counting the entitlements and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. So they're starting to see this. Now that's one thing I wanted to ask. Where's the love in the Tea Party? We, you know, the acceptance speech for the nomination by Rand Paul last night. Man, he just oozed all over this Tea Party thing. And I'm going, what's its manifestations there in New Mexico? Are you seeing it? Or is it kind of controlled opposition? Is it genuine? Is it independent? Is it under the thumb of the RNC, the local Republicans? Tell me about it.
Well, there really is a genuine grassroots uprising sentiment reflected in the Tea Party movement, that it really is the core of the Tea Party movement and really what's driving it. However, what I've seen is the same thing that happened with the anti-war movement in terms of being co-opted by the liberal establishment. And we have some of that here. And some of it's just, you know, that's kind of what happens anytime you have a movement like that that doesn't really have you know, automatic independent organization. You know, the people in charge of the Tea Party here in Santa Fe are very much part of the Republican Party. And, you know, we've seen the same thing, you know, throughout the district. There are Tea Parties of, you know, varying degrees of connectedness to the Republican Party or to the conservative establishment. We've seen now, like, Freedom Works and Tea Party Express and all these other big money groups sort of jumping in saying, oh, we just want to help the Tea Party. Well, you know, people who put out welfare really just want to help people, but we've seen its destructive effect here in New Mexico pretty clearly. So I think that we're just seeing that same thing, and there really is a genuine sentiment behind it, but right now it's been co-opted in a lot of ways, you know, and funneled to the existing conservative establishment. But there is, you know, fundamentally behind that, you know, a love, and there is a split, you know, as I'm sure you're well aware from surveys and some of the statistical analyses of the Tea Party movement between the Ron Paul wing and the Sarah Palin wing. You know, and compared to Barack Obama, I'd still much rather have Sarah Palin as president, but there is a distinct difference between those two wings, and I think it is that there are people in this world, there are people in the United States who genuinely want freedom for themselves. And they will fight for freedom for themselves, and they will stand up for it. but they really only want it because they want to be free. Then there are people who want freedom not only for themselves because they want to enjoy it, but they want freedom because they know that it is the only moral system for which humans in society should be getting along, is respecting the freedom of individuals based on the concept of God-given and inalienable rights. It's not just that they want to have freedom for themselves, but they want to give it to everyone else because they know that the more people around them in society are free and truly believe in that philosophical grounding and what it means to be free, the more that they will be free in the long term, and the more that that freedom will be sustainable and become a part of society rather than simply specific privileges that are carved out for a select few, whether it be us in America and screw the rest of the world, or me as an individual, or me and my community. But then the people that, like I said, really recognize that human rights are God-given and unalienable, take a different perspective. And I think there is a significant element of that within the Tea Party. I think in human nature in general, people recognize that.
Well, have you been able to tap into this? Because I know, tell us about Summer in Santa Fe. I mean, you know, here is an opportunity for a lot of young people to be able to come in and help do something. You know, I mean, what are you doing?
Well, in a way, what we're talking about goes deeper than the Tea Party movement, because people do recognize in many ways that the Tea Party movement has kind of become a wing of the Republican Party at this point. I know that's maybe an exaggeration, and definitely does not apply to a lot of Tea Party groups that have stayed true to the grassroots. But this is why people who think that the Republican Party leadership is out of touch, that it's just as corrupt as the Democrats, and that the party is on the wrong track, or the country is on the wrong track, are getting behind this campaign. And there are people from all over the country now who are getting behind my candidacy. And it's really exciting, you know, as incredible as it's been to have the opportunity to represent this message. In a way, it puts an increased burden and responsibility on me to do everyone here justice who is here because they so passionately believe in the ideals of individual liberty. And we have people coming out here who are volunteering to pull sit for us, to knock on doors, to do the basic legwork to win a campaign. And early voting started on Saturday, and the most important thing for winning this race is just having people at the polls. And you know, you might not like hearing this because this is a big part of what we're up against, but most people who come to vote for this primary aren't going to know who they're voting for in my race. They're going to be coming out for the gubernatorial primary. And we have five campaigns here that are all funded to the tune of about $500,000 each with their own get out the vote operations. And that's what's going to be driving people to the polls. And of course, in a primary like this, you know, turnout's going to be very, very low, especially in an off year, a midterm election. So just having the people at the polls who are saying, hey, have you heard about Adam Kokesh? Can I give you a flyer? Please go vote for him today. That's what's really going to make all the difference here.
What's the date? It's the 1st or the 8th? I mean, which one is
it? June 1st. June 1st is our primary, Tuesday, June 1st. But early voting has started already. And we've got dozens of people here in the district who are out sitting at the polls. You know, and most of these early voting places, you might only, you know, they'll be open for 10 hours. And you might only get a dozen people coming in. So it's really not that hard. But this is how we actually win the race. So we've got people, you know, sitting in lawn chairs, working on their tans with a stack of flyers in their hands, and when someone comes up who looks like they're going to vote, hey, you know, here, take a flyer and give them the
pitch. How are you doing? Is there any way to tell other than online polling you're winning? But I mean, you know, it's
no, it's such a low profile race at this point. There's really no significant polling for the primary itself. The only polling we have was against the incumbent, and it showed that both myself and my primary opponent have very low name recognition, but that the old adage of everyone hates Congress but loves their congressman doesn't hold true here in New Mexico when it comes to Ben Ray Lujan, that there is a high level of dissatisfaction and people are looking for someone to replace Ben Ray Lujan with. We've got a lot of feedback from Democrats, people saying, hey, we can't wait for Adam to win this primary so we can vote for him in the general and get Ben Ray Lujan out of there. We need all the help we can get, you know, and if people want to come out here, we'd be happy to help put them up. We have a lot of volunteers here in the district who are offering beds and couches and spare bedrooms for people that just want to come hang out for a week and be a part of the movement and say, you know, that they did the legwork to help make this happen.
Well,
like
we
I
got,
said, it could be as,
we got,
could be as easy as sitting in a lawn chair all day.
We have Ed in Phoenix. Ed, I, this is Ed Vallejo, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, Ed
Ed, thanks for coming on.
You know, this is Ed's one of the guys that went up last July to Santa Fe to help kick off your campaign and so on. What do you got to say, Ed?
Well, Adam, last 4th of July, we come up and we helped you kick things off. This 4th of July, the revolution in Phoenix is having a revolution tea party, and we sure would love to have you speak. Do you have 4th of July open on your schedule?
You know, I'm not sure, but I would love to, and if I can work it, I'd be happy to be there. We'll have to you know what, though? We are so focused now going into the primary on June 1st. I can tell you, I'm not even going to be able to look at it until June 2nd. But, you know, give us a call here at the office, and if we can swing it, I'd be more than happy to join you because I really appreciate that help. And I really love the work that you guys are doing and the way that you're representing this message. And I think reminding the American people what the Tea Party movement was originally all about is absolutely an essential thing for this country right now.
You know, it seems like this seems to be the year of reclamation. I mean, we're trying to reclaim our republic. We're trying to reclaim the Libertarian Party. We're trying to reclaim libertarianism as an ideal. And some of us are trying to reclaim the Tea Party ideals, too. This GOP cred, I mean, nobody's going to buy any time at the Revolution Tea Party. It's all going to be who we believe, who we are behind, and who the people should hear.
Absolutely, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Thanks, Ed. You know,
I'm honored by the invite.
Yeah, no, it's you know, 4th of July is kind of hard to get away from your own district. But if you can swing it, I mean, you know, we'll show you a good time. We always do, you know. and it's always good for us to be able to pump up and promote, and we got all the goodies. I mean, you know, the signs, the printing press, the, you know, video and audio, and we're just going to go stupid in promoting of, you know, whatever event that we want. Oh, we got an anti-war thing, Labor Day here. We're just signing the contracts of the resort. And there's so many opportunities for us to represent what the next generation has to say. And I knew from your speech, a lot of people in the audience may not know, Adam Kokesh gave one of the most inspiring speeches at the Revolution March, July 12, 2008, on the West Capitol lawn. It was an event where had a lot of people, including Dr. Paul and Chuck Baldwin and Gary Franchi, and I emceed that. In fact, the afternoon show, we're doing a video simulcast of the radio show with Restore the Republic's reality TV. And, you know, Gary and I are going to be doing that this afternoon, trying out the video studio with the radio and everything, and I'll make sure everybody gets access to that. We'll put that up. And Gary and I have been very involved in this even before the 08 campaign. And we saw this happen. We saw people like Adam Kokesh step up, throw their chest out, and directly challenge the man. I mean, at the top. And for someone...
Don't worry, Ernie. I got the man's permission.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a permission asker? Is that you?
No.
So this is...
I don't beg for forgiveness either.
So this is when you have a someone that can represent this next generation as Adam does, and do it clearly, do it with passion, articulate it, and do it with love. And I remember one of the comments you made, when we say revolution, we say it with love. And
I think I got that line from you.
And it's, you know, well, you said it better. So this is, no, here we go. We got time. Yeah, I'm going to play this. Here we go. Hold on.
We will not let our government destroy our humanity. We will not wait another moment in fear to stand up for what we know to be right. It is time we start meeting oppression with resistance. They cannot stop us. Humanity marches on. You can fight it or fight for it. When we say revolution, we say it with love.
How can you not support, you know, a mind, a realization? I tell you what got me the most. When I first read your speech, you know, a couple days before the event, because my wife had said, you got to read this guy's speech, because you had read it to her when you're putting up signs. And I read the one thing that struck me more than anything else: humanity marches on. I don't think a lot of people picked it up as much as I did. You know, this is, we are going to evolve ourselves out of this need for this collective tell us what to do, this psychological disorder that has been thrust upon us by decades of trillions of dollars spent by the man to indoctrinate us into whatever his will is. And Big Bubba is, he's seeing the end of his days, and it's because of people like Adam Kokesh. And we're going to talk to him more about his effort in New Mexico, 3rd District. KokeshForCongress.com. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Which now voices can't be heard. Just want to speak louder and louder and louder.
What the hell are we fighting for?
Yeah, what are we fighting for here? Claire, you're independent of me, Ernest Hancock, and another freedom-fighting individual, Adam Kokesh. From New Mexico's 3rd Congressional District, running for the office of. You know, the one thing that I was looking at your site, Adam, and, you know, in that song, that's kind of my generation, man. I mean, we were, the same stuff was going on. You know, I graduated 79. What was happening? Gas prices going through the roof. I remember when the gas was like 30, 50 cents a gallon, it went over a dollar, and I had a 65 Chevelle Super Sport, man. I'm like, oh, dang. You know, my gas gauge would go down as my speedometer went up. I mean, you could watch it, you know, and I'm going, this is all of a sudden three times the price in gas or something. It was something stupid. And then we had threats of war. Oh, we're going into the Iran hostage thing. We had Afghanistan invaded by the Soviets, and that empire went there to die. It's our turn. So then we had all of this same stuff, and my kids, they start coming of age, and they get to be about your age and so on. And they're going, yeah, Dad, you don't understand. The hell I don't. You know, I went through this. This is like, that's why they call it revolution. It just keeps coming around. And to get the perspective is something that just keeps coming, and it goes all the way back, even before the founding of the country. And on your website, there's one of the, you know, a Tea Party video that you have up there, and you're going around your campaign. Your site is really complex. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, there's a quote you have from Thomas Jefferson here, and he goes, "I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them."
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't stopped them, but we're starting to come to the realization. You know, tell me about your site. This is so complex. So many gizmo gadgets helping campaign this. Who does this?
Well, I have a website.
Yeah. I want a copy. I mean, you know, how do you do this? Who's behind all this? Where's your volunteer help come from?
Well, there's two elements to that. The framework has been established by Terra Eclipse, who have done an incredible job as our tech support company, and it's run by a group of people that really do care about the message, and so they, you know, they really do what they can to help out candidates and campaigns like this. And you can look them up. Terra Eclipse. I'm not sure what their website is, but it's T-E-R-R-A space Eclipse, E-C-L-I-P-S-E. And they do a great job. But really, you know, it's because we have people here on the campaign that care about the message, that are putting the effort into crafting the message, that are taking pictures, that are posting them up, that are doing the YouTube, that are doing the social networking. And, you know, the credit really goes to the team here of people that you know, you can see from the content, from looking at the blog. There are, you know, a dozen different people on the campaign already who have written blog posts just telling people what they've been doing that day, and, you know, how great the campaign has been going and what it's like with this message, talking to people on the street. And
well, this has to be of concern to your competition. They have to look at this and go, oh, my goodness, it had cost us $100,000, $200,000 just to pretend to have this kind of support and activity.
Yeah. No, and, you know, just yesterday I did an editorial interview with the Farmington Daily Times, and one of the reporters there was, I got to say, you know, of all the campaigns I've ever seen in New Mexico, you guys are doing the best job of taking advantage of the internet and social networking and all that. And, you know, I think it's a really important thing, because now, you know, politics is about communications, and so much of our communications happen online. You know, I've done a lot of the graphics myself. I'm very proud of that, and having come up with the concept for the logo and that, and, you know, I've done the graphics for almost all of our materials, and the bumper stickers and the buttons and things like that. So that really helps. But for people that don't know, want to check it out, it's KokeshForCongress.com, KokeshForCongress.com. And if you can't come out here and help out, you can also make calls for us. Callforkokesh.com.
And get money.
Another great website.
Send them silver. they have a real money bomb.
Real money, too.
Real money.
There's a video for that up there on our YouTube channel.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Adam. This is, we're really forward to what's happening.